Unukun.
Good evening. Thank you for coming tonight. And good evening, everyone that's here, the staff. Today, April 28th, 2026, 6 o'clock, the city council is having their meeting. Andrew Diella is an interpreter, thank you. And Lisa Ipili, thank you. Thank you for coming. Today, we also had a remembrance. The people who had died during work. And first of all, maybe we'll also have a moment of silence to think about those we lost during the when they were working. Thank you. We don't have any swearing in. And we now move along to adoption of agenda. We have added the correspondence. It's on item 7. We have that because of bylaw. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Questions, comments? I see none. In favor? Unanimous. Carried. The adoption of agenda. Now, April 14, 2026, City Council meeting minutes. Deputy Mayor Smith moves. Councillor Stevenson seconds. Questions, comments? I see none. In favor? Unanimous. Carried. Thank you. Tonight, we will also carry on. Is there any declaration of interest? Councillor Stevenson. Thank you.
8C.
Thank you. Councillor Shepherd.
8C as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I don't see any delegations on our agenda as listed, so we move along. Statements. Councillor Stevenson.
I'd like to raise something here today that came up after a public service announcement that the city put out on April 16th. The PSA notified residents that the taxi fares would again increase by 25 cents this coming Friday. And additionally, the PSA asked that residents exchange their currently purchased vouchers for a raised voucher price. I brought this issue up at the last fare increase time as drivers were actively refusing older vouchers in the transition period and claiming that they'd been instructed by their dispatchers not to take them. This was even happening to elders, where the amount that they were supposed to pay would have been less than the older vouchers were still anyway, so really didn't make sense. At the time, there was a little stir about it, and the city and the Caribou Cabs, I think, put out a joint press release saying that the older vouchers would be accepted, but that wasn't the case. It continued to be refused. People continued to be refused service at that time as well, and still to this point. Drivers continue to make passengers uncomfortable, refusing to take those older vouchers from people who've usually got them from an organization and so really didn't have any control over their procurement. I do want to be clear that I've always been and always probably will be clear that the taxis play an important role in transportation from our city. They are basically de facto public transit. And that I've always been in favor and agree that drivers deserve to make a fair wage for their work. I have always supported the fare increase. But the current situation sparked by the voucher issue, and not only the voucher issue, including other service failures like no point of sale payment methods other than cash, the lack of accessible vehicles, the general upkeep of the current vehicles make change necessary. The amount of times that I've watched a taxi drive on the sidewalk to go up hills in our city because they don't have the proper tires to get up on the road themselves is astounding. I'm suggesting here that the vehicle for hire bylaw be brought immediately to the Governance and Priorities Committee of the Whole for review and modification, and that modification may well include the potential for different fare structures. I'm also putting the taxi companies on notice that things need to change and that they need to be better. I will not support taxi fares at their current levels without improved service. This may have to be the turning point or the place where the entire industry is revamped to better serve our citizens.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Any other statements? Today on at noon, the elected officials. I attended a meeting and we had a memorial or sort of like a moment of silence today for workers who were lost to and a person from Nunavut was named. So we had a remembrance today of it's something that's recognized in Canada, where anyone who had been had passed away during work, and there's a moment of silence and a remembrance today. So those loved ones, friends, anybody who had been working with them feel the grief, and people who we had worked or lived with in the community, we remembered them. And while they were working, they had lost their life. There was also a presentation about worker safety and to remember things about being safe at work. And I just wanted to comment about the values in of Inuit culture. In the past, when Inuit were hunting more traditionally, and when a hunter went out and tried to catch wildlife, and that's what he was doing. He was employed as a harvester so that when he catches his wildlife, he will go home and feed his family and the community as a whole. Inuit Kauyumayatukangit traditional values, and if a hunter cannot catch a wildlife that day, then they should not worry about that. This is a very understandable point by Inuit themselves. If there's some safety issues involved, they should not go and catch the animals that day. And that same kind of value should be applied to workers. If you're working, if it's going to be unsafe, then you should not be working. This is a very true meaning. That's the same practice and idea that we have as Inuit. Thank you. Now, moving along on our agenda, item 7, correspondence. The Nunavut Research Institute has a letter from Sebastian Nelson. Deputy Mayor Smith moves to accept the correspondence, seconded by Agluka. Questions, comments? I see none in favor and unanimous carried. Also, correspondence information item by John Main. Minister responsible for liquor and cannabis from the government of Nunavut, and that we need to have, it's just an information item, just to accept it, and it's part of our agenda item tonight as an information item. And on our agenda item under bylaws, we don't have any first reading of bylaws. We have second reading of bylaws, bylaw number 1033, amendment to zoning bylaw 899, ZBA 25-040. We need a mover. Deputy Mayor Smith moves, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Is there any questions or comments? I see none in favor. Unanimous, carried. And moving along, bylaw 1034. Amendment to consolidated fees and charges, bylaw 813, to be accepted. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Any questions or comments? I see none in favor. Unanimous, carried. I will ask a question. 1034. I think that we could move that to third reading, and Councillor Shepherd has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just third reading, I would like to go back to second reading of bylaw number 1034 and ask for unanimous consent from my colleagues to move to third reading tonight, amend the agenda to add third reading for that fees and charges schedule of bylaw 813.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. So it's a request to add this to the agenda for third reading. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Any questions or comments? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous, carried. We will do third reading tonight. So that will be agenda item number 838C2. We will do a third reading of a bylaw. 8C1, C1 bylaw number 1035, land disposal bylaw. The two councillors that have an interest have left. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Gluka. For third reading of bills, there are no questions allowed. All those in favor? Unanimous approval. Motion carried. Thank you. And the members can come back. The councillors can come back into the room. Thank you, Councillor Shepherd and Councillor Stevenson. You were absent during reading, third reading. And now the next one for third reading is bylaw number 1034. For consolidated fees and changes bylaw 813. We need a mover. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith and seconded by Councillor Shepherd. In the third reading, there are no questions allowed. All those in favor? Unanimous approval. Motion carried. Thank you. No old business. On to new business. We will hear a presentation of the 2025 audited financial statements by Peter. Peter will do the presentation. Peter.
Mr. Mayor. Good evening, councillors. I'm pleased to present the 2025 draft audited financial statements for the city. The audit report is a clean report. We are also in compliance with the CTB Act. Overall, the financial health of the city has improved from the previous year. Our liquidity and cash position are strong. We're managing our long-term debt, and we're continuing to deliver on major capital investments. I'll briefly review the major statements and the funds comprising the financial statements and also make a point about a couple of the notes. So page 6 is a consolidated statement of financial position. That's the balance sheet. So what we've seen here is an overall increase in our net financial assets by about $19.7 million. So that's up from $18.7 million from last year for a total of $38.4 million. So this is good. Having net financial assets means that our current assets are sufficient to pay our liabilities, and we do not need to use future revenues to pay for previous services. Page 7, our statement of operations. That's our income statement. Revenues are up year over year by about $12 million, but expenses are also up year over year by $14 million. So our surplus of 4.7 is a little bit less than what we'd seen in the previous year, but it is still more than what we had budgeted for. You'll see some large increases in the revenue for community wellness, and that's also in relation to the Reaching Home programs and the Inuit Child First Initiative. So you'll also see corresponding expenses increase in the same rate in the expense line, so that does explain a large portion of the increases in expenses. You'll also note that depreciation is up by about $3 million due to the continuation of capital assets added to the tangible capital asset schedule. So we are seeing that being reflected on our income statements. And finally, on page 9, our cash flow position. Our cash position has increased a little bit, about $3.3 million year over year. But it should be noted that we used about $13.1 million in cash to reduce the amount of payables, and also used up an additional $4 million in deferred revenue. So that reduced our overall liabilities and did improve our net financial position. Finally, you'll notice that the 2024 column has been restated. This is due to two things that we had to adjust for. We processed two prior period adjustments, and these are outlined in note 2. So the first is that we had over $600,000 in expenses that incurred in 2024 that met the requirements of a funding program. And so we did an adjustment to the revenues and the revenues for that and pulled it out of deferred revenue to reflect that that actually got covered under that program and not by the city itself. And the second is the recognition of an outstanding development agreement that required the city to record a liability of $816,000 and an asset of $1 million, which was related to the QBDC agreement for the sewer line near the Exarnate Hotel. So that's everything I have to say about the financial statements. I'll turn it over to back to the mayor. If there's any questions or comments, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No question, just a general comment that these are incredibly strong financial statements. The city is in a very good financial position. There'll always be certain needs that exceed our ability to address in the short term, but we're in a very, very good position. And a lot of that, and particularly the results of this year and the prior year, are thanks to the budgeting process and the work that administration has done. Increasing city revenues, managing expenses, and acquiring the capital assets we need to operate our city in a more efficient way. So thank you to administration for the very strong results. We're in a position a lot of other municipalities would be envious of, I must say. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Peter. On page 22, it talks about our long-term debt and the repayment of that long-term debt, or the repayment schedule, I guess. Noting that this year has a really large repayment number compared to the other years thereafter. I'm assuming that's because some of the things are coming up for payment, but can you explain why that is?
Oh, thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Peter?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson, for the question. That relates to the long-term debt that we have for the Aquatic Center. It's done in five-year chunks, and so at the renewal, we will be renewing this again for another period of time, but it shows that it's due in 5 years, or sorry, in 2026, and then we'll be renewing that for another a term to majority. So that's how they reflect it on the statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Councillor Stevenson, does that answer your question? You're good? Good. Anybody else? If there are no more comments, we need to have a motion to approve the consolidated financial statements. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Any questions or comments on the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous approval. Motion carried. Thank you. And thank you, Peter. Item 10B.
And planning report, zoning bylaw amendment, UPA 26-003, location, Nunavut House Corporation. Matthew?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Council. The item before you in 10B is zoning bylaw amendment to rezone a lot from medium density R2 to a special exception high density residential zone, R3, to support a public housing project. This is a lot that was previously considered at the Planning and Development Committee It is the same applicant. They've resubmitted an application with changed bylaw provisions. And I'll go through that quickly with council. So for further context, there were three row housing buildings close to the hospital that have since been demolished, and this rezoning concerns that now vacant lot. So we are talking about that same lot for those of us that weren't at that committee meeting. The developer is Nunavut Housing Corporation, as mentioned. They've submitted this revised bylaw. Staff are recommending giving this bylaw first reading and scheduling a public hearing. The actual changes to the bylaw are in bold in under ZBA 26003A, closer to the end of the item after the site plan is shown. So under clause 3, you'll notice that the applicant has requested to, or has offered space on their lot for recreational vehicle parking. And they consulted the city on what the appropriate amount of recreational vehicle parking is required for an apartment building. We consulted the city's parking study, which was completed recently, which actually looked at the amount of stalls and demand across apartment buildings in our community, and how many snowmobiles and all-terrain vehicles were parked adjacent to or around, even around off-site apartment buildings. And that ratio is for every 10 residential units in a building, you notice that there's one recreational vehicle. The applicant is proposing a parking plan for these recreational vehicles, and they've provided an amended drawing for council to see. In effect, it is in concept plan attachment number 2. There's an existing snowmobile trail at the rear of the property, so they have oriented the recreational vehicle parking with that trail. This would include civil works to make sure these vehicle stalls are usable and effective. It's not just a space on the lot; it's an actual investment in the lot. So they make these changes in response to committee feedback. They have a very aggressive timeline. They want to start construction this year, hence the item coming back to council so quickly, and. So yes, as mentioned, the staff recommendation is just to give first reading to the zoning bylaw amendment ZBA 26003A to direct staff to schedule a public hearing and schedule second reading for plan 2105 lot 860. And to note that if second reading is given, council would withhold third reading until a development permit for the proposed apartment building had been conditionally approved by council. So gives council further assurance that this bylaw wouldn't be fully read until a development permit was approvable by council, including the design of these recreational vehicle stalls. So if there are any questions, I'm here, of course, and Nick Clark from Nunavut Housing Corporation is here to answer any questions for the applicant. Thank you.
Ako'y naming Matthew, apikotik siya, tatyo mga natuk siya ko tao yumut, katimay shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wasn't here and able to participate in the meeting last week where a different version of this was discussed. I just want to talk a little bit about the quality of housing being proposed here. I took some time this week to visit a very similar building on across from Green Row that's gone up. What's being proposed here is basically the same building with an additional floor on top. This is incredibly high quality housing that's being proposed for our residents. There is, you know, individual air handling, the rain hoods vent to outside, in-suite laundry in every unit. The finishings are excellent. It is good quality housing for a Kalamute. It's not perfect, you know, high density is not for everybody, But I think this is a large number of units that are desperately needed by a large segment of the population, both from a public housing standpoint and a staff housing standpoint for the government of Nunavut. And it's my understanding that the eventual use of this will be potentially a mix of public housing and staff housing. I understand the concerns about parking that were raised. In reality, there's essentially one full vehicle spot for every two apartments in this, which I think is perfectly reasonable based on data that we have collected on studies that we've done. We've looked at buildings in town similar to this and looked at the need for parking in other places. It's not to say it'll be perfect forever. There might be pressures on that parking as time goes on and as people's lives change, but I think in the short term, what's being proposed is very manageable. At this stage, I see no reason to hold up 116 new housing units for our community. I am in strong favor of proceeding with this, and I would be happy to make any necessary motion tonight to move this forward and to see these units come to fruition in our city.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. And questions or comments? I see that's not really a question. It was more support. Thank you. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Alla, and I want to echo my my colleague across the floor here's statements. And I just wanted to just take a moment to thank the proponent as well as admin for working together to take council's feedback into consideration and come back with a proposal. I think this is incredibly important, and I'm looking forward to hearing from the public on it at our public hearing. So thank you. Very happy to support.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Councillor Stevenson.
I guess, as you know, I moved this the last meeting and voted in favor of it with obvious reservations that I stated then. I won't bother stating them now. I will say it's a bit awkward that the people who were most against this aren't in the room today. It makes it more difficult in my mind to feel good about a proposal that's come back immediately to council. It's not generally how we would do things. I did ask last time, and I'd be asking again, that the public hearing be held prior to the meeting where we potentially read this bylaw for the second time, so that there be some space in between the public hearing and the meeting to digest what inputs are there. I'm not sure. I know, Matthew, you had a response that I maybe didn't completely understand. I don't know if that needs to be in this motion to or a resolution here or not, but that would be what I would suggest we do.
Yeah, Matthew, I'm going to ask Brianna to respond to that. Thank you, Brianna.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Yes, there was a comment or a note made by the CAO at the last meeting that to hold the public hearing and second reading on separate dates, we would ask for a motion from council. I would expect that this would be, if this was then to cause delays for the applicant, that we just have that instruction from council, and that's our standard practice to separate those. So that's why we're asking for a motion, would be my understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Brianna, for that. Is that answer suffice? Councillor?
Here, are we simply recommending to ourselves to complete first reading at our next meeting, or are we able to complete first reading tonight?
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Brianna, could you answer that?
Sir? That is a very good question. We did bring this back in the format that it was originally brought to committee as, so I am noting that now, my apologies. I would I would suggest that maybe the best way to proceed would be to recommend that this is brought for first reading at the next meeting, just as that's the way it was proposed. But I don't know. My apologies. I believe you would be able to amend the agenda to add it for first reading if you did wish now. Just noting that the way that it was presented in the package was not as first reading, was just as a recommendation to discuss this at an upcoming time. Thank you.
Thank you, Brianna. Councillor Shepherd.
Just kind of curious what my colleagues would think. Just with respect to Councillor Stevenson's earlier comments regarding the people that aren't in the room, I am definitely in support of having as many people present as possible when important decisions are being made. I do recognize that there's a benefit to getting this process underway when it comes to the upcoming sea lift and the work that needs to be done to move a project like this forward. Realizing that, hearing at the public hearing into second reading along with the development permitting process does give everybody, every member of council, a number of times to provide input, comment, and vote on an item like this. I'm just wondering, I would be comfortable moving to first reading tonight and making that motion. I'm just kind of gauging the feeling of the room and see how everybody else feels about doing that.
When to make Katamay Shepherd.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Deputy Mayor Smith, did you want to comment?
Thank you, Mayor. So I had emailed administration last week to request that this gets, that they communicate with the proponent to see if there's, they could align some of this with council's comments. It wasn't, it wasn't intended that the people who were voted against would not be here tonight. In fact, they said that they wouldn't be here after that happened. So it was not, it was not anyone's intent to, pull a fast one, I guess. That all being said, once again, this is just first reading and public hearing. Like, we're not approving really the building or even the rezoning at this point. I don't see a real reason that we would defer. It's not actually, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for people, if they are still opposed, to continue to be opposed. It's not like this is the end all and be all of this decision. So, thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Stevenson.
I think I'd reiterate my uncomfortable feeling about the whole item at the moment and think that I would definitely rather wait for the first reading to be at another meeting, especially where it wasn't. So it's not like we're deferring a decision that was on the agenda. We're not adding something additional to the agenda. I would, though, before making that decision, like, I guess, to hear from Matthew about what he thinks about that timeline and if there's an issue. I know I asked about timeline from the proponent at the Cow last week. They had intended to start construction late in the fall of this year, potentially, I think was the answer. So that makes me think there's probably enough time to wait, but I'd like to hear from Matthew.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. I will now ask Matthew.
But I'm going to give Matthew a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Stevenson, for the question. First of all, apologize for the motion stating that committee would recommend council. That was, my mistake. And in terms of timelines, to answer the councillor's question, the timeline, if for instance, council scheduled this for the next council meeting for first reading, would align with what was originally proposed, because tonight would have been the committee report for this item, and we would be in the same position timeline-wise as prior. Amending, we also haven't assigned a bylaw number, so I would have to defer to the clerk on that if on process. I just don't know. But to answer your question about timeline, and to confirm that they were looking at this fall for civil works for the project, if the timeline stayed. Thank you.
My name is Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. Anybody want to make a motion? Councillor Shepherd.
Without all that explanation, I would move to recommend that council give first reading to the zoning bylaw as recommended in the recommendation here at our next council meeting, May 12th, I believe.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Shepherd, seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Any comments or questions on the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. And now, committee reports. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Thank you, Mayor Awa, for the planning and development motion report from meeting number 4 on April 21st, 2026. The committee recommends that council approve as per the report. So I will move.
I present a
seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Any comments or questions? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. Thank you. And now, tonight on item number 12, in-camera session. Following the CTV Act, we need to have an in-camera session. We need a motion to go to in-camera. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Aglukak. All those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. Thank you. We will start. We'll take a 3-minute break and get into in-camera session.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, for coming back. Back to our meeting out of camera. First of all, there's a motion to be made, and Councillor Shepherd.
The 2025 management letter that accompanied our audit.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Questions, comments? I see none. In favor, unanimous. And we're now at adjournment. Councillor Stevenson moves. Councillor Agluka seconds. In favor, unanimous. Adjournment is now closed. Thank you. Thank you, interpreters. Thank you, counselors, and have a good night.